At the top today, for 2 years, Flint native Michael Brown served as the City of Flint's emergency manager. He has recently returned to Prima Civitas in East Lansing as its president. And Michael Brown joins Current State to talk about his efforts in Flint and what lay ahead for Prima Civitas. Welcome back to Current State, Mike.
Pleasure to be here,
Mark. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Your history in Flint is extensive. I think a lot of people know that. You grew up there. You owned a business there. Spent 4 years in Genesee County government, even serving as acting mayor of Flint back in 2009, and then emergency manager. Tell us about what you found in Flint when you arrived as EM 2 years ago.
Well, what we found was a financial emergency. We had about a budget deficit that was projected at $20 million. We had the inability to provide adequate police and fire services. We had, of course, aging infrastructure. And we had a water system where the we had a surplus back in 07 of $60 million, and it was at a $23 million deficit when I walked in the door. We had what's called OPEB liability, post-employment benefits, lot around health care. That was right on the border of $1 billion underfunded. So we had major kinds of financial issues and public safety issues and infrastructure issues to face.
And looking back from today's perspective, how much were you able to change? How is the landscape different today?
Well, what I think we did, what we achieved, was to put Flint on a path to solvency. We're on a different trajectory than Detroit, for instance. I think with the debt that they had in Detroit, bankruptcy was practically the only option. Flint didn't have that kind of debt. So if we could, learn to live within our means, I had to lay off 25% of the workforce, for instance, in that first year. We were able to reduce that OPEB liability from close to $1 billion down to about $366 million. Mm. It's still a lot of money, but with changes that we made in health care and how it is delivered to our active workers and retirees, we were able to reduce that. The pension had a $400 million unfunded liability. We were able to transfer the Flint retirement system to the Michigan Employment Retirement System. So FERS to MERS, it's called, which really will provide better service at lower fees for our workers and our retirees. So one critical piece was that our cash flow was so low that we were worried that whether we could make payroll. Okay,
right.
It was like the previous administration had borrowed $8 million from the state. So the cash flow was at, pooled cash was at about $10 million. When I left, it was at $49 million. So, we made some significant progress. And like I say, I think it's on a path to solvency. It's not out of the woods. There's still very tough decisions to make. Just the stabilizing the public safety. It's still a major problem. And if there's one thing that I feel like we could have done a better job was to make Flint safer. So that there's still a lot of work to do around that.
Was the progress you made possible largely as a result of the special powers that you enjoyed, special authority that you enjoyed as an emergency manager?
Well, we couldn't have moved that swiftly, okay? We needed to move swiftly, and the legislation allowed us to do that. But if you take, I mentioned this to you before the show, but like Darnell Early up in Saginaw faced a lot of the same problems. He was the city manager. He did a great job of keeping them out of receivership.
Without an emergency manager.
Without an emergency manager, yeah. So I think he was a great choice by the governor to come into Flint, and he had some history in Flint. So I think, again, it's on the right path, but still a lot of work to do.
Given your tenure as emergency manager, I have to ask you what your thoughts are regarding the city of Detroit and the upheaval that it has gone through just in the past 6 months or so.
Sure. Well, again, from my perspective, it's positive. I think that, you know, the bottom really fell out of the economy in Detroit with General Motors bankruptcy and then all the impact of that on other manufacturing, on other service industry. And so the tax base that, you know, supported 1.5 to 2 million people at one time just was not there anymore. So now you at least have somebody who is addressing the issues. And there's no easy decisions there. I mean, you know, bankruptcy is a tough way to go, but again, their debt was so much. I mean, they had borrowed, I think it was $300 million just to make payroll.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, Flint didn't have that kind of debt.
And what was its OPEB?
It was in the billions.
The moon and the stars.
In the billions.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, what are you going to continue to advise Darnell Early in any way? I'm curious. I'm under the impression that your new role or you're returning to Prima Civitas. How will you continue to be involved?
Well, I certainly told Mr. Early that if there's anything that he needs, you know, I'm a phone call away. But what I'll tell you is we put a team in place. I mean, one of the other things that we focused on was what was the culture in Flint of the workforce. And we brought some new young people in. You know, if you think about Michigan and the brain drain that we've had, a lot of good young talent leaving, we made an effort like around finance, human resources, to identify real quality young people who live in Flint, have a stake in Flint, and now they're helping run those operations. So that was part of the future as far as I'm concerned.
Did other emergency managers do that you're aware of? I mean,
you know, I didn't really have a lot of interaction with other emergency managers, okay. So I don't know
that. It seems like a great move. It seems like a innovative idea.
We felt it was logical, you know, because you got to think about what happens when you leave. And so to kind of put a team in place, and really Mr. Early has really left that team in place that we put together.
Do you think he'll be able to do that? Or do you think he and the other people at the top, Dane Walling and the city council and others,
sure.
Are you generally confident about the future of the city? Do you think they can continue to make progress?
I am. I'm very positive. You know, I'll give you an example. Even within this receivership time, there's been $500 million of new investment in downtown Flint. And, you know, we're now looking at other projects in downtown Flint, talking to Michigan State University about the College of Human Medicine and expanding their presence. They've been in Flint for 30 years. But
is that institutional investment or private or both? Or, I mean, what's the big part of the meal there in terms of that investment?
It was private investment.
Okay.
Private investment. And that's significant that people who see what's happening in Flint are still willing to make that kind of investment.
It's the Dan Gilbert kind dynamic only taking place in Flint.
Absolutely.
Okay. Did you feel that you were able to truly connect with the city's residents during your tenure as EM?
Well, you know, because I was born and raised in Flint, I mean, I knew a lot of people, and I lived in many neighborhoods in Flint, so I was comfortable wherever I went. And even if there was animosity, I mean, I made an effort to go to every ward in Flint and give a presentation the first 2 months I was there. And, you know, I got a lot of negative feedback, okay? But, you know, half the people that came to the microphone, I knew. And so I think part of that is just I have a great respect for the people in Flint, and not that they were going to agree with me on every decision, but I was able to say, look, we're going to have to do some things that are going to be very uncomfortable, but in order to get us on the right path, we have to do this kind of thing. And, you know, it was...
Did it get better over the 2 years, or did it get worse?
I wouldn't say that it got better, and I think part of that is not the financial stuff so much. It was more the infrastructure and the public safety things. You know, the kinds of things that citizens deal with every day that they didn't see getting better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're just not going to be able to have that kind of an impact, I don't think, in a quick way. On the finances, we were able to do some things because of the law, and we did them.
We're talking with Mike Brown, former emergency manager for the city of Flint and a Lansing resident, a Flint native, but a Lansing resident. I think about you. I envision you getting up every morning at your home in Lansing, driving to Flint, where you had all this authority and responsibility, and then driving back to Lansing every night. You were a man of two cities for a couple of years there. What was that like?
Well, really, it was good to be able to just step away for, you know, even if it was 8 to 12 hours, just to come back, kind of rethink it. And, you know, I'm driving in every day, and you're thinking about the day ahead. So it actually was good for me. You know, and there, I think there is a case to be made that people who administrate a city should live in a city. But, you know, I had paid my dues in Flint. I lived there all my life. I raised all my kids, five kids that went to the Flint schools, got a great education in the Flint schools. The Flint community schools were, you know, we had people from all over the world who would come and go through there because they were open from 7 a.m. to 10 at night, 5 days a week. I mean, that's a history of Flint that's mm-hmm. very positive that people just don't realize is there. So, you know, Flint was good to me. It was good to my family. And so for me to go back and serve as I've done, it was not tough work, you know.
What advice, what's the best advice that you have offered Darnell Early, Dane Walling, the city council, in terms of what's on your short list as to suggestions for how they should move ahead?
Well, certainly perseverance. I mean, you know, this to keep this on the right course, there are still a lot of tough decisions to make. I think secondly, and I'll give the mayor credit for this, you know, he put together a grant to the federal government to have a new master plan for the city. And they've been implementing that master plan now for the last couple of years. First, they put it together, and now they're in the implementation phase. And this is a huge thing. Flint hadn't had a master plan for 50 years, okay? Not since the 60s. So I think to stay the course on that, to follow that plan, to have citizen engagement. I mean, I was at one meeting that the mayor put together last year, and 500 people showed up on a Saturday morning to look at the city of Flint and how do we go forward. That's encouraging. And so I just say stay the course on those kinds of things, but persevere. Don't back off at all.
I want to ask you about the perception and the importance of perception here. How sensitive to that were you during your tenure? How sensitive to that are you now? And is the perception of the city arguably worse than its reality?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Flint has a very negative reputation and perception. And like I say, just the opposite is true from my experience. Okay, I grew up there. I grew up at a time when schools were open to the entire family. I mean, men, women could go there for training, you know, after school closed, they were open. The Charles Stewart Mott Foundation was just a tremendous benefactor for Flint, is still there and is still doing a tremendous job for Flint. So, and then, you know, we had the highest per capita income in the country at one time. Mm-hmm. So we had workers who could send their children to college, and who would never have to walk into a plant and work again because they could pay for their education, that kind of thing. So we have a cultural center for a blue-collar town that's second to none, a planetarium, Institute of Arts, Institute of Music, Whiting Auditorium. I mean, we have kids who come from 50 miles away to go to the Institute of Music, okay? Those are assets that any community can build around. We've got 34...
And are arguably overlooked and... Yeah, that is not the story that gets out about the city of Flint.
34,000 college students, you know, Kettering University, one of the top engineering universities in the country. University of Michigan is in Flint, just like they're in Dearborn. Mott Community College was just ranked one of the top 10 community colleges in the country in the last 2 years. Baker College, one of the fastest growing private colleges in the Midwest. So tremendous assets to build around.
I know the public-private partnership with Kettering University has been quite a spark for the city as well. Talk to us about that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, just, you know, while I was there, you know, we had a stadium that's right stone's throw from Kettering, and it's been, you know, deteriorating for two decades because the city, nobody had the money to put in to refurbish it. So Kettering stepped up in the last year and said, you know, we'll take it over. You give it to us and we'll make sure the schools can use it for ball games. But this is part of our neighborhood. We want to see it refurbished and mm-hmm. be an asset for the whole neighborhood. So, and of course, the kinds of training of engineers that takes place there, connection to industry, particularly manufacturing industry, that we still need, you know, in this country. So Kettering is a tremendous asset for the city of Flint.
How are the roles of Mayor Dane Walling and the city council playing out here as we head into 2014?
Well, that's a great question, and it is a significant role because what I think Mr. Early has to do is, and he's already done it, start thinking about the transition back to mayor and council.
Okay.
How does that take place? So he has formed a 21-member committee to look at, you know, what does a transition look like? What's the role of the mayor and city council? What charter changes might we need to institute as it is handed back? So that's going to be a great
that
discussion.
Happen, by the
that's
way.
Happening right. He appointed the committee. So my understanding is that there'll be a facilitator for that process. The mayor and the council will be involved in that process. I'd say great vision on his part, on Darnell Early's part.
But when will the city no longer have an emergency manager?
Well, I can't predict that. Like I say, there are still real tough decisions to make. You know, we were able to reduce the deficit from that $20 million down to $13 million just in 1 year. But that you still got a $13 million deficit. So can they erase that in the next year? Maybe. I mean, like I say, I think it's in capable hands with Darnell Early, and I think they're moving in the right direction. But it's hard to predict. If you look at the average stay of an emergency manager, it's about 3 years. So if you looked at next December, for instance,
that'll be 3 years.
That'd be 3 years. So, again, they're on a good path, and I think that is continuing under Mr. Early's leadership, and I believe they're going to.
How did the community respond to a change in emergency managers? How do they feel about Mike Brown out, Darnell Early in? What did that play out in any curious kind of way?
Not really, and I'll tell you, we actually went through three because, you know, the law changed while I was there.
That's
too.
That's right.
And yeah. I had to leave for a while. Ed Kurtz came in. I think here's an amazing thing is that the team that we put together originally stayed in place. So the people who were really doing the work, you know, in finance, in infrastructure, in public safety, whether it was police and fire, they have been in place. And I think that the work has continued no matter who the manager was. I think that's significant, and that speaks well for Flint and the cooperation. I think, you know, the mayor was worked very well with me, very well with Ed Kurtz, very well with Darnell Early now. So I think there's responsible people there that want to do the right thing, and they want Flint to thrive again.
Is Flint becoming safer? Is that still a particular challenge?
Yes, I believe that's a particular challenge. Okay. You know, with gangs and guns and kids and drugs, you got issues there that have impacted the public safety, the entire community, and that's going to take a while to clean up.
What's it like to be back in the saddle, really, at Prima Civitas? Or do you not regard it as that big of a transition?
Oh, no.
You were there before. So.
Right. I think it's fantastic. You know, Prima Civitas was started with a vision by president, Luana Simon from Michigan State University. Dave Hollister came in, did a great job, and now Steve Webster has really taken it in some new directions, particularly the international direction. And I think that the work that it's still doing regionally with communities along the I-69 corridor that are trying to take brownfields and redevelop them and get new investment, those are the kinds of things Prima Civitas is working on. And I'm excited about being able to come back and make a contribution now.
Michael Brown is a Flint native, Lansing resident, and was the emergency manager for the city of Flint for a couple of years. He is now back at work as president at Prima Civitas of East Lansing. Great to see you, Mike. Good luck, and we'll talk again.
Thanks, Mark. Good to be here.